This morning in our big people's meeting, we were talking about how the Lord wants to set us free from our sin, and then he wants to set us free into this world to let us proclaim his good news, tell others of his love. And the Lord can use every one of us for that. There's not a person in this room who's too old to be used by God. Right, Brother Charles?
That's right, too young, too.
And, yeah, you beat me to the punch. And there's nobody in this room that's too young. Well, let's see. Is Mark here? Yeah, Mark is too young. I guess maybe he could smile. I don't know what he could possibly do. He's just this big. So he can't do a whole lot. But there's nobody here from the village that's too young. You remember the little boy that brought his lunch or his whatever it was? 5 loaves and 6 fish? What was it? Oh, 5 loaves and thank you. 2 fish. 5 loaves, 2 fish. And you remember, he brought them and he gave them to Jesus. He wasn't too young to do that. And you know what Jesus did with those 5 loaves and 2 fish. There are other younger people, little boys or children, that God used. And God still uses boys and girls and children and young people. You know how he uses especially little boys and girls or young people? He builds into our lives, I'm still a little boy, he builds into our lives his character as we get his precepts and his word. That's one of the wonderful things about Pilgrim Camp. I'm looking forward to Sunday morning. I hope I'm not disappointed, because I know sometime along that meeting you're going to get up and you're going to start to recite scripture. Am I right? You know, that's such a blessing to hear the boys or the girls in July stand up and they begin to recite Bible verses. The cottagers do that, the little kids. Because while they're at camp and while they're in Sunday school at home and wherever you are, we get the Word of God put into us, those testimonies or precepts, commands, all those words that you found in Psalm 119. And as we hear the Word of God, and as the Word of God goes into our hearts, then we're taught how not to sin against God. How does a young man, I think it's in Psalm 119, it says, how does a young man cleanse his way? It's by taking heed, listening to those words of God, and putting them into practice and obeying them. And it's a wonderful thing to let the Word of God get into our hearts, and we begin to grow in grace, and we grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then he begins somewhere along the line to use us. And that's a wonderful thing. The Lord is always looking for people who he can use. He doesn't find a whole lot. You know, a big complaint that I hear, not about young people, but about old people or middle-aged people, you guys, is that they don't like to work. We've had a lot of work done at our church recently. And no matter who it's been that's been working, the contractor or his subcontractors who are the bosses of other, they all say the same thing. Can't get good help. Can't find anybody who wants to work. He wants to come at 2 o'clock, and this guy wants to leave at 11 o'clock, and this guy's not coming on Fridays. And one of them got so frustrated, he told me, I'm packing it in, I'm closing my business, I'm going to get myself a dump truck, and I'm going to go into the rubbish removal business all by myself, because I can't find anybody who's willing to work. Now, I hear that a lot. I don't know if you hear that too, but that's one of the complaints. People don't really want to labor. They really don't want to work. And I think that maybe the Lord feels that way sometimes too. He tries to find a boy or a girl, or he tries to find a young person, or sometimes he even needs an old guy, and he can't find them. Nobody wants to work anymore. They all want to do their own thing. They got all this going on. This guy wants to leave at 1. He wants to come when he wants to. This guy never wants to stay. Everybody's got their own agenda. Nobody wants to work anymore. And I wonder, I don't think the Lord gets frustrated, but his eyes do go all over the place throughout the whole earth, and he's looking for people. I think Paul put it this way to Timothy. Timothy, the Lord is looking to make you a vessel. Now, vessels need to be made. The Word of God does a work on people to make them those vessels, sanctified, meet for the Master's use, prepared into every good work. Now, some of the people that the Lord wanted to use, they just didn't want to be used for whatever reason. You remember Jonah? The Lord said, Jonah, I got a job for you to do. I don't know, how old was Jonah when the Lord talked to him? Do you know? Anybody know? How old was Jonah? I have to ask Carol Camping. He's the only one that knows everything. Anyway, let's see. I don't know how old Jonah was. The Bible doesn't say, I don't think. But whatever, Jonah, probably a middle-aged guy or something. And the Lord said, I want you to take the message and bring it down there to Nineveh. And he just didn't want to go. You remember the story. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want those people to repent. He went the other way. He just wasn't interested in that. Moses wasn't interested at the beginning. Remember, the Lord said, Moses, I want you to be the deliverer to take the people out of Egypt. And Moses had a whole bunch of different excuses. What were some of the excuses he came up with? What was it? Say it loud. Can't talk. Now, he didn't mean he can't talk. He could talk. He meant, I don't want to talk. Or at least, I don't want to talk in front of the Pharaoh. I don't want to be the spokesperson, not me. What was another one of excuses? Yeah?
That, see, he felt that he shouldn't do it. He felt that I shouldn't just say that I feel I should move the people from Egypt in front of the whole Egyptian court.
I see. Who does he counsel? Very good, young man. Okay, yeah, he felt. Yeah, that's what he felt. What else did he say? Does anybody else remember? He's not what? He wasn't from the nobility class. He wasn't from the right clan. He's not. They're not the pedigree that you're looking for. I can't do this. I can't do that. Had all kinds of excuses. Oh, remember Jesus? He tried to get another guy. He was, I don't think his name is in the Bible. There's another question we could ask others to tell us who this man was. He's called a rich young ruler. And remember Jesus said, now you just get rid of all your stuff and then you come and follow me. I got work for you to do too. And he didn't want to. Why didn't he want to go? That's an easy one. It's kind of selfish. Yeah, why not? Yeah, either one. Combine your efforts. Go ahead. What do you want to say? That's right. Is that what you were going to say? That's exactly right. He wanted to keep all his stuff. He didn't want to part with any of his riches. He had too much to give up, he thought. And, you know, they were all wrong. And then there's one more that I'd just like to read for just a few minutes. If you have a Bible and you could turn to Isaiah chapter 6. There's an interesting story there about this man Isaiah. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I think that was 742 B.C. In the year that King Uzziah died, it says, I saw the Lord, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord. He was seated on a throne, high and exalted, and he had a robe with a big trail to it, a train. And that was filling up the temple. And there were these angelic beings that were flying. Now, some of them had six wings, and some of them had two. With two wings, they covered their faces. And he was seeing all this. But more important than seeing the seraphs and the cherubs and all the rest of the heavenly display, he gets on to saying, I saw, and they were calling, these angelic beings were calling, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory. And the posts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. And Isaiah was seeing all this. He was seeing, it says, I saw the Lord. Now, that's something that maybe we don't see with our eyeballs. We don't really see Him, you know, as we open our eyes. Most people, I don't think, ever get that far, or they don't have that kind of an experience. But Isaiah did. He had that experience. There are a few others in the Bible. Now, I guess I'm looking back to Northampton, because, or you people that are smart. Anybody else that you could think of in the Bible who saw the Lord? I hear Jacob back there. What did he see? Okay, he saw angels going up and down the stairs. What are you going to say?
I was going to say John.
You're going to say John. I was thinking of John too. What were you going to say?
Jacob.
Jacob, yeah, that's a repeat performance. Yeah, that's good. John, remember what happened to John when he saw the Lord? What did he do? I fell down at his feet. He was just overwhelmed. Isaiah, when he saw the Lord, yes.
He like fell down on one knee.
Yeah, that's Isaiah. Isaiah fell down and said, "Woe to me." That's what he did say. "Woe is me." He was just overwhelmed by what he saw when he saw the Lord. And he said, "Woe is me." Now, it says in my Bible, I have a different translation from the King James. It says, "I'm ruined. I am ruined." Now, you know that Isaiah was kind of a good man, maybe better than some. He wasn't certainly at the bottom of the barrel. He was already a prophet, it seems, and he, in a measure and in a sense, knew the Lord, but there was still something missing or something wrong in his life that stopped him from being really useful as a laborer for the Lord. And he didn't even realize it. He wanted to be what God wanted him to be, I think. He wanted to be a good vessel. He wanted to be a person who God can use. He wanted to be a laborer. How many of you want to be a laborer? How many of you want to be somebody that God can use? Some of you, most of you. We want to be what He wants us to be every moment of every day. And sometimes we don't even know that it's not because we want to run the other way, or it's because we're not willing to get rid of our riches or whatever else might hold us back. And it's not because we don't feel that we can talk or we can speak or we're not from the right clan, or maybe none of those reasons. There's a reason that Isaiah had that maybe we have the same problem that Isaiah had. And you don't know it until you really see the Lord. Because when you see the Lord, what do you see about the Lord? What did Isaiah see? He was what? Holy. Holy. He was different than anybody else. Different than even the best man or the best lady, the most religious person that could ever be, the one that read the Bible. You know, you could even read the Bible and know the Bible, but still not really know yourself. And really not even see yourself. And until you see the Lord, and oftentimes you see Him in the Bible. And when you see the Lord in the Bible and you see His holiness, you see how pure He is, you see how righteous He is, how good He is, how much different than anybody else He is, you begin then to see what about yourself? You said it to me before. You begin to see that you are, he's still studying. You begin to see, woe is me. You begin to see, I'm ruined. You begin to see, I've got a problem. Now, what did Isaiah say his problem was? Let's just see for a moment. Isaiah said, "Woe is me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips." Now, I don't really exactly know what he meant by that. I know that there are men and ladies too that their lips are unclean. That doesn't mean they didn't wash them. That means that the things that come from their mouth, from their lips, it's not right. They shouldn't say those things. And maybe they're bad words. And they say them. Maybe they're yelling too much, or yelling, period. And maybe they're saying things about people that aren't true, rumors or lies. And maybe they're saying things that, well, you know what, libel or slander, you're pulling down somebody else. Maybe they're doing, I don't know what Isaiah's problem was, but Isaiah saw the Lord and he saw how holy and how pure and how righteous God was. And when he saw how God was, he saw how he was. And before that, he didn't even know it. We don't even know ourselves. I tell you, we don't. We don't maybe know what half of going on in our hearts until we get into the precepts, until we get into the Word of God. Doesn't James call it the law of liberty? And we see ourselves in that law of liberty. And we don't just see ourselves and then close the book and forget what we look like. And we don't want to do that. I saw one of, I won't say who it was, but one of the staff members this week was carrying a cracked mirror. And as they were walking or drive, they were with the cracked mirror, and they stopped and they showed me this cracked mirror. And I knew what was coming before they even said anything, but they were going to tell me that they looked in it this morning, and that's what happened to it. You know, sometimes we look into the mirror of the Word of God, and we see ourselves, but we don't like what we see. And so if you don't like what you see in the mirror, what do? Stop looking in the mirror. It goes away then. Then you don't see yourself anymore. James says, don't do that. You look in the mirror and you see what you are, and you see God in this book. And when you see God in this book, you see yourself in this book. Maybe as Brother Jeff has been speaking to you down in the village or your counselors, maybe you've been recognizing this book says something and it shows me what I'm all about. And I never even knew that when I went to camp. I thought I was a good guy. And maybe some of the staff and some of the adults and all of us, we never seem to get beyond the place where the Word of God could search our hearts and find something in us that they can show us ourselves. And then thank God we can go to the Lord and say, Jesus, forgive me. Thank you for showing me what I'm all about. Thank you for showing me that I'm a man of unclean lips and that I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. You know, I think you guys that are at school and you that go to work for sure, you dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And their lips are unclean because their what is unclean? Their hearts are unclean. It's out of the abundance of the heart that your mouth speaks. And sometimes you find there are other problems that people have. And then you find in the Bible as you read it and you see the commands and you see the precepts, thank God it's good for us to see what's in ourselves so that we can get rid of those things. And that's what Isaiah was interested in doing. When he saw what he was all about, he said, Lord, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Because now my eyes have seen you. And in seeing the Lord, Isaiah saw himself. Well, we read that then one of those seraphs flew to him with a live coal in his hand that she had taken from off the altar, and he touched Isaiah's mouth. That's what Isaiah needed. He needed his lips, you know, that fire from off the altar, I think to me at least, that speaks to me about being cleansed or purged. That rottenness, that bad stuff was burned away, taken away. We sing sometimes a song, it's a prayer, burn on, O fire of God, burn on. We sing, burn in me, Lord. Burn until all the refuse, all the dross, all of the bad stuff, all of the sin, all of it, Lord, till it's all burned away. Burn on, because, Lord, I want you to prepare me for the day that I stand before you. But not only that, Lord, I want you to prepare me to be a good worker for you, a good laborer for you, because God needs clean vessels, vessels that have been sanctified, vessels that he can choose to use that are clean. And he looks around for people like that. And he looks around the camp for people like that. And there are people, thank God, at Pilgrim Camp and outside of camp too, that say, Lord, I want that. I want to see what I'm all about because I want to be made like you are. And so show me the things, one song says, that the things that I'm unconscious of, that I don't even realize. Show me the things that are in me that are not pleasing to you so that I can deal with them, so that you can deal with them. See, whom the Lord loves, he gets after those people. And he shows us, like he showed Isaiah, our shortcoming. And then that coal from off the altar, that fire that purges, that cleanses. I guess in the New Testament, I'd have to say it's the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood that cleanses, that blood that washes us from our sin. And we can go to that fountain that's filled with blood. And we can say, Jesus, make me whiter than snow. Cleanse me from that. I don't know what goes on in everybody's heart and everybody's mind. And nobody knows what goes on in everybody's heart and mind. You may not even know what goes on in your mind and in your heart. But he knows. And sometimes he'll show you something in your heart and in your mind, that he wants to get after that thing because he wants to make you a vessel, a laborer, one that he can use for his glory and for his honor. Isaiah had that coal from off the altar touch his lips, and it purified his lips. He was then able to speak as a, well, as an oracle of God, one that had clean lips, one that was able to speak the word of God in purity and in truth. But it goes on, and I'm going to close now with this. It's past your bedtime, right? We're going to get there soon. The counselors are all nodding. Just one more verse. Then I heard a voice, the voice of the Lord, saying, whom shall I send? Who's going to go for us? I need somebody. Who can I send? Who can I use? I got to find somebody who can go for me. I'm up here and you're down here and I need a voice. I need a vessel. I need a mouthpiece. I need a laborer. I need somebody I can use. Who can go for us? Who can I send? And those of you in Watch Rock, here's the short prayer that Isaiah prayed that maybe you'll want to pray too. Isaiah said, Lord, here am I. Send me. Send me, Lord. I'm willing to go for you. I'm willing to be what you want me to be, your vessel, your mouthpiece, your spokesperson. I'm willing, Lord, to do your will. Now, maybe that might mean bringing a lunch to some place and feeding somebody that doesn't have enough to eat. It might mean, as a young person, just helping at home, your mom and your dad, and being obedient and coming to camp and learning the Bible verses when your counselors try to teach you those Bible verses. That puts the Word of God into you. That's how you grow. That's how you mature. That's how you become a vessel. You don't start someplace else. You start with God taking your life, you giving Him your heart, and you saying, Jesus, now you just make it clean. I wish I had more time to tell you about some of the boys that I met when I was a counselor in camp many years ago. A lot of you, not quite as many years ago as he was talking about, but a lot of years ago. And they were all different kinds, and some of them weren't so good, and they came off the bus. That one boy that came off, I've told you here at camp, I think, before. Name was Junior. I don't know what his real name was. That's what he was called. And he had bones on the back of his jacket. I don't know. Whenever I see bones on the back of anybody's jacket, it makes me think twice about that guy. And he had a hat off to the side and it was tilted down. That means he was, I don't know, what does that mean when you wear your hat off to the side a little bit and pull it down? What? Gangster? Is that what it is? Gothic? I'm out of touch. He wasn't good, it didn't seem. And there he came off the bus, and then he was unpacking the stuff from the bus, and he had a radio about this big, and I thought, uh-uh, that is coming up to no anthem. Can't take one of those. Are you allowed one? Uh-uh. So I thought, oh boy, now here we go. Well, we got him up there, and make a big long story real short. He wasn't such a good boy. He was in a gang. He was gangster. He was in a gang, and he was up in the Bronx someplace, and if people wanted to go across the footbridge from the Bronx to Manhattan, they had to pay him and his gang members toll. Now, that wasn't orchestrated by the city of New York, Mayor David Dinkins or whoever was back in those days. That was his gang that did that. Give me a nickel or a quarter or whatever it was. And I don't know. That's the kind of kid he was. And he acted like that. And he came to the meetings and he sat like, not like any of you. You guys are all awake. It's them I got to worry about. But they were awake. He was whatever he was. He wasn't interested. And until one time up in Onanton, one meeting back in that pavilion, he still got that little white tent back up in there with the propane tanks. He still got that to keep your... Yeah, we had a little time up in there and... And one night, questions and answers. I don't know what the questions and answers were all about, but at the end of it, when we said, good night, you can go back to your rooms, he went to his knees. Boy, that was a shock to me to see him go to his knees. And then he stayed there. And you know, that year, it wasn't only that he was the only kid. There were 16 boys in Nonantum. How many are in Nonantum now? 16. That year, I had 15 on a campers. I know, Brother Eric, you know, I don't know, but 15 honor campers and one merit camper, and they all deserved it. Four of the boys that were in my group, your dad was in my group that year, yeah. He was an honor camper, believe it or not, he was. You believe that? And four of them are now serving the Lord in the ministry. They said, send me! And you could almost tell back then when they were 15 years old, because they were serious about this book. Those boys were. Junior wasn't, but those boys were. Tom Kynath was one of them. Dave Perez, I think his name was. Andy Millar, another one, I can't remember the name. Three of them were bigger than I was. Your dad was bigger than me. I was afraid of those boys. But fortunately, they were good boys. But that one night, Junior, he got down on his knees and he was just crying and crying like a baby, just weeping. He saw the Lord that night, you understand? He saw the Lord. And when he saw the Lord, he saw himself. And he saw himself as not so good, not such a big macho man, not a gangster anymore. He saw himself as undone, unclean. He needed help. He needed the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse him from his sin. And so that night he stayed on his knees, and I didn't go near him. I didn't want to mess it up. I wanted God to keep on doing whatever he was doing. And you know, those other boys, those pre-minister ministers, they all came back into the meeting house and they all got down on their knees and they all began to pray, not for themselves, but they all began to pray for Junior. They were just as happy as the counselors were happy. And Junior got up from his knees that night a different man, a different boy. He was changed. He met the Lord. He saw himself and he saw the Lord and he got up and he was changed. The next morning we came to the morning worship down there in the village. And the head counselor said, anybody have a song that you'd like to sing? And the first hand that went up was Junior's. Junior's, what song does he want to sing? Boom, bing, 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 bing. No, that wasn't it. Junior said, you know what he said? You know what he said? I've told you. Who took my burdens all away? Jesus, Jesus. Who turned my darkness into day? Jesus, Jesus. We sang that song in that meeting and every other meeting since that time, after that time. Anybody have a song you'd like to sing? Who took my burdens all away? We sang that song to death that next week at camp, but we enjoyed every minute of it. We were walking back up. It's when they had somebody sleeping in that little cabin, Elliot, that you pass on the way back to Nonantum. We woke that guy up one night, the last night before we went home from camp. Junior wanted to sing for him, Who Took My Burdens All Away. I remember getting back into that little pavilion the night before we went home from camp. All 16 plus two counselors. Just us. Just Nonantum. And we began to sing together one last time. Who took my burden all away? Jesus did. Jesus did. Oh, woe is me, Junior said. Maybe the Lord will show you, me, myself. Don't close the book. Don't turn away, but say, Lord, help me to be different. Take a coal from off the altar and touch my lips. Maybe your mind is dirty. And maybe you need him to purify your mind. Maybe your heart, you need him to purify. Maybe you fight a lot. And the Lord knows all that we deal with in this old flesh of ours, but he's able to save us to the uttermost. And I'm thankful that he can.